From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. A storm moving through southeast Alaska is causing high winds that will continue into this evening in Juneau. It's resulting in power outages and falling trees. Multiple cruise lines have canceled port calls. The National Weather Service issued a high wind warning early this morning, which is in effect until 7 p.m. Brian Bezanek at the Juneau NWS office says sensors have reported gusts reaching up to 60 miles per hour downtown.
Got some very gusty and strong winds moving through the area that has been knocking down a few trees here and there, as well as some other minor damage around town.
Alaska Electric Light and Power reported an area-wide outage due to downed trees across town on Wednesday afternoon. The city of Hoonah has also reported outages. Three cruise ships that were scheduled to arrive in Juneau canceled their stops ahead of the storm Tuesday night. The Caribbean Princess was already in Juneau's port on Tuesday and chose to stay in Juneau overnight. The Viking Orion cruise ship was scheduled to arrive in Sitka today, but instead diverted course to Juneau due to winds. Matt Cresswell, the city's harbor master, said local tugboats helped the ship moor.
All cruise ships visiting Juneau are able to have tugs on standby at any time they want. So that's a common thing that if you need a tug, it's always manned and ready to go if the ships need it.
The Juneau School District reported that all its schools had been impacted by the outage, but classes continued as regularly scheduled. The city and borough of Juneau also briefly closed some public recreation facilities. And a cruise ship passenger died in Juneau yesterday after falling off a steep mountainside on Mount Roberts near downtown. Search and rescue responders used drones to locate the body of 36-year-old Texas resident Britton Poole last night, according to dispatch from the Alaska State Troopers shared this afternoon. His body was recovered by troopers and Juneau Mountain Rescue after he and another man reportedly fell from Mount Roberts Trail and slid down the mountainside. Responders were able to locate and rescue the man with Poole, who suffered minor injuries. Juneau might lose its ability to say that its electricity is created entirely by renewable hydropower. That's if the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, or AIDA, prevails in a lawsuit over the ownership and sale of renewable energy credits created by Juneau's largest hydropower plant. KTOO's Alex Solomon reports.
Renewable energy credits, or RECs, are much like carbon credits. Utilities that burn fossil fuels can buy them to say they're powered by renewable energy, allowing them to claim carbon emissions reductions. So when a utility buys a renewable energy credit, it's just buying a claim. And according to the Environmental Protection Agency, once the utility that generated the renewable power sells the claim, it forfeits the right to say it produced that renewable power in the first place. And those who actually use the energy lose the right to say they're renewably powered. That could have consequences for Juneau if the state sells energy credits from local hydropower. AIDA says the state owns the renewable energy credits created by the Snettisham Hydroelectric Project, which supplies two-thirds of Juneau's electricity. The agency wants to sell those credits. Randy Ruaro, the executive director at AIDA, says selling them is a way for the state to make money.
Frankly, it was an oversight, I guess, by previous AIDA staff and employees to recognize that this opportunity was out there. So once it came to our attention, we're obligated to take steps to create and generate revenue for AIDA and for the state of Alaska Treasury.
Exactly how much revenue the agency can make is unclear. On the open market, RECs are priced at anywhere from $1 to $700 per megawatt hour. It's triggered two legal disputes. Hecla Greens Creek Mine, the largest silver mine in the country, runs partially on surplus hydropower supplied by Snettisham through an agreement with AEL&P. That helped it claim a nearly 40% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions in recent years. Earlier this month, Hecla filed a complaint against AIDA, asking the Regulatory Commission of Alaska to determine that AIDA doesn't own the renewable energy credits and therefore can't sell them. Last week, AEL&P filed a lawsuit against AIDA alleging the same thing. Although AIDA owns Snettisham, it long ago sold the power generation rights to AEL&P. In the court filing, AEL&P asserts that any renewable energy credits created at Snettisham should belong to the utility, not AIDA. If AIDA wins, AEL&P could no longer claim it produces entirely renewable energy, and the city and borough of Juneau couldn't say it runs completely on renewable electricity. Although the ownership of the credits simply determines who gets to say what, the impact of selling them could be financially detrimental for those who've been claiming them in Juneau. People like Steve Benke, who is a founding board member of Alaska Heat Smart, a nonprofit that installs heat pumps in homes across coastal Alaska. He also leads Renewable Juno, a nonprofit that advocates for clean energy.
Renewable Juno and Alaska Heat Smart have created the Alaska Carbon Reduction Fund, which raises money by saying that we're using this nice, clean hydroelectricity, renewable or renewable resource, to put heat pumps in low-income Juno homes, saving them 50% on their heating bills and demonstrating a reduction in carbon emissions.
He says the fund relies on individuals and companies contributing to offset their carbon emissions. Alaska Heat Smart is also rolling out a program to install 6,000 heat pumps, funded by a $38.6 million federal grant. Beneke says that if ADA is allowed to sell the credits outside of Juneau, then local nonprofits would lose their claim to renewable power, making them less competitive in seeking grants that score project applications based on clean energy. Robert Barr, Juneau's deputy city manager, echoes that concern.
I certainly understand organizations wanting to bolster their bottom line, but in this case, they're doing that at our expense, and that is certainly frustrating.
Barr calls the sales proposal short-sighted and says ADA didn't consult with the city before starting the process. Most states have laws governing how renewable energy credits are created, traced, and transferred. The Alaska legislature considered a bill a few years ago that would have done that, but it didn't make it out of committee, leaving it unclear how renewable energy credits work here. Alec Mesdeg, the CEO of ALNP, says the utility looked into the credits a while ago and decided not to pursue selling them.
It's been something that has just provided substantially more value than what we would obtain by selling the RECs to someone who doesn't live here at all.
Mesdeg says the credits make more sense for energy grids that have a mix of power generation. Utilities buy and sell them to meet renewable portfolio standards set by state laws. But Alaska doesn't have one of those laws either. Now it's up to the Alaska Superior Court to decide whether Juneau's only operating electric utility owns the renewable energy credits that until now local businesses and nonprofits believed they could claim. The court issued a temporary restraining order on Friday, preventing the sale of RECs until the issue can be discussed in court. A hearing will be held September 18. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
And school gardens offer a chance for students to connect what they learn in the classroom to the outdoors. An elementary school on Douglas started one in 2022 as part of a federal watershed and ocean conservation program. KTLO's Jamie Deep stopped by the garden after school earlier this week and has the story.
Joel Boss stands outside Sayek Gassano Community School, rinsing tray after tray of freshly harvested potatoes with a hose. He's a naturalist with Discovery Southeast, a nonprofit that connects Juneau residents to the outdoors. They partnered with the school to build and maintain a garden. Boz has been working with students on the project. He says they participate in every part of the process, from planting seeds to eating the crops.
Now this is not just something that one person is doing here as like kind of on the side. This is an entire school event, and that to me is really special.
There's still more to harvest, including several beds of carrots. Boz says those are his favorite vegetables to grow in Juneau.
They're super sweet if you grow them up north. The kids just absolutely go bananas for them. I think we all do. Everybody who's had a carrot that was picked and washed and eaten in the same day understands the difference in sweetness and flavor.
Sayek Gassano Community School librarian Monica Haygood walks through the school garden, pointing out the different crops separated by type.
This side, the left side here, we have, of course, onions, kale, and so they're just dedicated to one crop because, you know, you can just get so much more out of it.
The garden is a project for the Ocean Guardian School program run by the Office of National Marine Sanctuaries. Schools commit to protect local watersheds and the ocean through various conservation projects and school-wide practices. Schools can also get startup funds for projects like a school garden. Sayek has been an Ocean Guardian school for the past 7 years. Haygood is also the lead teacher for the program. She says the school garden in particular teaches students more beyond math and reading in the classroom.
It's science. It gets them outside. It gets them working together. It gets them thinking and talking. And all those pieces are just
such an important part of, like, you know, learning as a whole picture.
Building and maintaining the garden is a school and community-wide effort. Teachers incorporate the garden into the curriculum. Students might try their hand at scientific illustrations or calculate the volume of a garden bed to find out how much soil it needs. Local businesses also donated materials for the garden. The garden even runs when school is out. Haygood says teachers and some families water the plants through the summer. Boss also brings students from a summer camp to maintain the garden. Haygood says she's proud of the garden the school has created.
I love to just see kids out here and learning and digging and, yeah, just making those connections. I think that is the most powerful, just seeing the kids out here and how inspiring that is for me, but it's also so inspiring for them.
Most of the vegetables will go toward a school-wide dinner next week, and the garden activities will continue to run after the big harvest. Students will start growing different plants indoors from seed under grow lights through the winter. The garden will also continue to grow. Next to it is a field peppered with dirt and weeds. Haygood says they'll fill the area with native plants.
We'll develop this trail over here with some signage so that we have some plants that students can learn about that, you know, are local, that grow here.
As for the remaining uneaten veggies, Haygood says they won't go to waste. Students and teachers will take the leftovers home to their families. In Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
And as for the weather here in Juneau tonight, it seems like the high winds are over, but we are expecting to get more heavy rain tonight and tomorrow. And actually, it looks like through the rest of the week, with temperatures in the 50s. The National Weather Service is predicting that we might get a couple of inches of rain over the next few days. You're listening to KTOO. For more news, go to ktoo.org.